are truly grateful for your presence this morning. We're glad to have those of you who are visiting with us. And of course, we're always happy to have our regular members of this congregation present for every worship service. And hopefully, as we sing and pray and study and commune together this morning, the first day of the week, that those things that we do will be such that will make us have a greater appreciation for God in our daily lives and what He has done for us through Christ, and a greater appreciation for one another. It's good to be here. It's good to have you here. And I hope that the contribution that I make in this lesson will be beneficial and profitable to you as we study the Word of God together. Everything that is alive is growing older. Every person is growing older. We see this evidence on every hand. We go out in the community, in the businesses where we do our business, we see evidence of aging. We see it on our jobs, even on the college campus. We see evidence of growing older, and certainly in the church. Every person who is alive is growing older. And sometimes we don't notice it so much until we get older. I can remember as a boy thinking that those that were past 30 or 30 or some in their early 30s were considered old. And then I got to the point that that was not old at all because I was there. And those who were 50 and 60 were old. But that's not old anymore. And of course, those who are 80, look at those who are 50 and 60 as being quite young. And so I suppose sometimes it has to do with where you are. There are advantages, definite advantages for growing older. Not the least of which is the senior discounts that you get in various places of business. And I'm enjoying that. And I wouldn't say that I've been jealous or envious of the older people who have had these benefits, but I'm really enjoying getting them because they're good to get that discount because you need the extra money to pay for more medicine as you get older. It's okay to love life. And the Bible, in the scripture that Bill just read, he says, he that will love life, and he makes some suggestions on what to do if we love life, if we love to live, and we would like to extend our life upon this earth. There are certain things that we can keep in mind, certain things that we can do in order to have a better life here upon this earth. And so let's be thankful for the privilege of growing older. We all know the alternative of growing older. And though we do not, we should not fear death, we certainly do not want to hasten it under normal circumstances. And it will come sooner or later anyway. Robert Frost wrote these words. He says, come, grow old with me. The best is yet to be. And I'm sure that many of you can relate to that. Maston Lake Road is blessed with a number of older people, but also younger people. We're blessed with children in this congregation. And these children mean much to us. And I understand that Joe and Chrissy are trying to help us along this line and having more children in the congregation. And then, of course, we have our young people. We have our teenagers, when I speak of young people. We have our young adults. We would love to have more. In times past, we have had more children in our classes, more young adults, but I'm thankful for the ones that we do have now. because they mean so much to this congregation. We have middle-aged people, whatever that may mean to you. And middle age means different things to different people. We have what is called senior citizens. We have older people. And we can learn from each other. I believe the two complement each other, younger and the older. From the older, the young can learn experience and wisdom. And from the younger, the old can learn enthusiasm and vibrancy. And so we can see that in God's family, in the church, it is good to have a good mixture. But we want to concentrate primarily upon those who are growing older, realizing that the principles that I present in this lesson would apply to any of us because we're all growing older. And you may not consider yourself old today, but hopefully the time will come when you will be old and you'll be considered old by other people. But we want to think about some things that will help us have a better attitude and a better appreciation of those who are older and a better appreciation of our place in society and especially in the kingdom of God as we grow older in years and older in the faith. I read some myths in an article concerning aging. These are myth conception about older adults. And one myth is that it begins at age 65. The fact is, there's absolutely no scientific, biological, or psychological reason or evidence for choosing the 65th year as the year at which to mark a dramatic life transition. Another myth. Older adults are retired. The fact is, some 40% of the 65-plus population are employed full-time. Over one-half of those over 65 work part-time. Another myth, most older adults live in nursing homes. The fact is, only 5%. Of the over 65 population reside in nursing homes and hospitals or other institutional settings at any given time. Another myth is that older adults cannot live alone. The fact is, today's older adults want independence to maintain their own homes, to care for themselves. Some one-third of Americans age 65 years and older, some 8 million people live alone. Another myth is that America is a nation of youth. The fact is, on July the 1st, 1983, the number of people over 65 surpassed those under 25. An amazing change from 100 years ago when the median age in America was 16. A myth, older adults are powerless. The fact is, in the past 50 years, the power and clout of America's older adults have steadily increased so that they are now a population mass with which to be reckoned. Another myth, older workers are less competent than younger workers. The fact is, workers over 50 receive high evaluations in performance and productivity. They are punctual, they have good attendance, and are cost effective. A State University of New York study found that as we grow older, our productivity increases moderately but steadily. And these myths and facts were taken from Life Times. What does this tell us It tells us that as we grow older as human beings, men and women, we're still useful. We can still be an asset to society. We're still important. There are many contributions that we make. As far as elderly people, they make many contributions concerning their time, with regard to time, and their talents. Look at the volunteer help in our nation's hospitals and charitable organizations. Many times, most of the times, it's senior citizens, older people who have the time, and they're giving of their time to be useful to society. And we talked about those who are continuing to work past the usual age of retirement, either full-time or part-time. And these people are continuing to pay their taxes and continuing to provide those things in our nation that makes it the nation that it is. The influence of older people is felt in practically all areas of life. And most of the time, it's positive and good. But this morning, we don't want to talk about age or older people just in general. We want to talk about Christian aging people. Growing older in Christ, growing older in service to the God of heaven, and how important it is. Are we growing older as God wants us to grow older? Psalm 92 in verse 14 speaks of those who shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. As we continue to grow older, is our faith increasing? Are we depending upon the Lord far more? And are we bearing fruit? When the Bible speaks of bearing fruit, it does not limit it to younger people, but to Christians specifically, regardless of age. Job 5 and 26 mentions coming to one's grave at a full age and as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. You think about that. Proverbs 16:31 refers to the gray head as a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. It's conditional. And Job 32 and 7 states that age should speak and the multitude of years should bring wisdom. When we think of outstanding characters of the Bible, usually we think of those who were older, as the scriptures relate the wonderful things that they did to the glory of God. With the exception of Jesus and a few others, such as Joseph in the Old Testament and David as a younger man, and then in the New Testament, of course, Timothy and Titus, perhaps even John and Paul when they were younger. We usually think of the older in the faith. We think of Enoch, who lived more than 300 years, and he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And how that we have so little that's stated about his life, but yet he goes down in biblical history as a great man of faith. And we think of Abraham, the father of the faithful, and Sarah, his wife, both of them exemplifying tremendous faith when they were old in years, 90 and 100 years old. And God told them that they were going to be parents of a child, and that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. Look at Caleb. Caleb had spent perhaps most of his life struggling and hardships, going through the wilderness for the past 40 years, and now for all practical purposes, it was time for Caleb to sit down and enjoy the benefits of now being in the promised land. But they had to take the land. They had to conquer it. Caleb could have asked for an easier task, but he wanted a mountain. He wanted to conquer a mountain. It could have been at the time when he wanted to sit down and just relax and die. Normally, but he wanted to work. We think of Paul and Peter as they grew older, and John, as we mentioned, as he grew older in the faith, and the letters that they wrote to the churches of the first century. Think of the older people that you have known personally who have passed on already. Think of the older people that are still living, that you know, and who have influenced your life, and who have realized the value of growing older in the Lord. The older years should be a sober and serious time in one's life. You know, it's sad to see any portion of an individual's life wasted. But it is pathetic sometimes to see an older person, man or woman, who acts and lives like a careless teenager. And it's not a pretty sight. Just growing older is not what's important, but growing older in the right way. At a time, the person should be showing wisdom and discernment. Sometimes the individual's life is filled with waste and foolishness. There's no way that I can present what I want to present in one lesson. I've divided it into two. Today I want us to consider, I've already read some of these myths concerning aging in general. But for the balance of our time this morning, I want us to consider some false concepts the devil would have us believe concerning being older. And then the next Sunday, Lord willing, we want to make some practical and biblical suggestions and observations about growing older. And so today, we look at it a little from the negative side, and then next Sunday, we want to look at it from the positive side. But some false concepts the devil wants us to believe concerning being old. One definite false concept is that you are washed up and useless. You are of no good to anybody or just a few people. We know that that's not the case. It was not the case in the lives of other people in the Bible and people that we have known personally. You know, Jacob made many mistakes as a younger man. We can read of some of those mistakes in the book of Genesis. He was not perfect in his youth, but he wised up in his later years. He saw old age as a time to help other people. When he took his family down to Egypt, we find him blessing Pharaoh. Genesis 47 and verse 10. In that great Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, Jacob is mentioned along with the faithful. In verse 21, it says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff." Can't you get the picture of Jacob? Israel, now an old man. And worship was very important. Blessing other people was very important to him. It is sad when senior saints feel that there is nothing left for them to do. Some of the great accomplishments in the world have been accomplished by those who have been older. Moses was 80 years old when God called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. More than 2 million people. And he spent the next 40 years of his life in the wilderness. God knew that Moses would be a tremendous help to him. Now, we know that Moses tried to excuse himself. He says, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak like I need to speak. I'm going to have to convince Pharaoh. What am I to say? Who am I to say who sent me? Have you ever felt that way? Felt inadequate as far as the ability to communicate, and especially under pressure in an important situation? Moses felt that. But nowhere do you read that Moses excused himself that he was too old. Never did he say to God, to the Lord, Lord, I'm just too old. I'm 80 years old. And you want me to go down and lead these people out of Egyptian bondage? Moses did not have that attitude. You may not be able to do what you once were able to do. Sometimes we have physical impairments as we grow older. And we're sick more than we have been in the past. But what we all can do is follow the example of that woman who anointed Jesus with that precious ointment. It could have been sold, and the money could have been used to buy food for the poor, but she anointed the Lord with it. You know what the Lord said? The Lord simply said she did what she could. And that's the philosophy that every Christian needs to live by. Regardless of our age, to do what you can. God does never expects the impossible. God never expects us to do what we cannot do. But he does expect us to do what we can do. And so many times we find older people who feel that life is over and I'm useless to to everybody, and there's nothing, no contribution that I can make. Another false concept. You're too old to learn anything. I'm just too old to learn. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. We've heard that over and over again. Some people live by it. And as a result, they do not try to learn anything. Paul, as an older man, he'd lived more than 30 years after he became Christian in writing all those New Testament books and enduring all the persecutions that he had to endure and planting all the churches in various parts of the world at that time. And now he was in a Roman prison cell and death is near. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm now ready to be offered. But he told Timothy as he wrote his last letter to him, bring the books and especially the parchments. Here was an individual who did not think that he was too old to learn. It's sad when you find people like that. What did Job say along these lines in Job 32 and verse 7? Age should teach and the multitude of years should bring wisdom, but many times they don't. Why do we not continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom sometimes? Because we don't open our eyes. We do not continue to study. We do not continue to learn. And how impressed we are with the individual who is older in years, and yet they're reading self-improvement books. Increasing their knowledge, increasing their ability to communicate with other people and get along with other people. Someone has said that gray matter solves more problems than gray hair. How true that is. If all old people were wise, they'd all be Christians. You ever thought about that? They'd all be Christian because they would learn the truth. if they were exposed to it, they would learn it, and they would believe it and obey it if they were wise. But you find many times older people are not wise in seeking knowledge, seeking to increase their knowledge and wisdom, and then when they learn something that can be of benefit to them in this life and even for the life to come, it's too late. I can't learn. I can't memorize like I once was able to memorize. Another myth, honor automatically comes with years. The fact that you are older, people are going to just naturally honor and respect you. No, that's not the case. That is wrong. That is a false concept. Honor comes from service, not longevity. Jesus was the one who said, whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. That's how we're honored, when we serve other people. When we look beyond ourselves, beyond our own aches and pains, to the needs of other people and try to reach out to other people and help them. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, the wise man Solomon said. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Sometimes, if I were to ask you, who was the oldest man in the Bible? The oldest man probably who ever lived on this earth. I believe everybody would know the answer. You'd know Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years on this earth, the Bible tells us. What did he accomplish? I don't know of anything he accomplished. If he accomplished anything, the Bible doesn't tell us. Except having a lot of birthdays. He had more birthdays than anybody else. And if you study carefully the generations and the years that are described in the first few chapters of Genesis, and especially in that genealogy there, that so-and-so lived so many years and begat so-and-so, and you see Methuselah, and you figure out when he died, you'll find out that he died the year of the flood. Now, we don't know whether he just died early that year before the flood came and died a natural death. I like to believe that he did. Or whether he died in the flood with other wicked people. We don't know. But he did die the year of the flood. And so when we look at this man's life, and I'm sure that he did accomplish many positive things, I like to believe that he did. But there was nothing so outstanding such as his father, Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. There's nothing mentioned about his life, what he accomplished. You know, science has been able to add years to life. The average lifespan today is increasing year after year because of advancement in science and the medical field. But this is useless unless we add life to years. It's not how long you live, but how you live. That's very important. And so, as far as honor is concerned, it doesn't come automatically. Just because you're older doesn't mean that people are going to automatically honor and respect you. But you live a life of character and conviction as you grow older, and you'll be respected, you'll be honored and treasured. Another false concept, live in the past. The best days are gone. And again, Caleb could have congratulated himself on past accomplishments. He could have begged to be excused from present struggles, but he wanted that mountain. He wanted to conquer that mountain. And certainly the time comes to retire from secular work. You spend 30 or 40 years in your secular work and you look forward to retirement, and that's well and good, but we never retire from serving the Lord. We never get to the point that we leave it to the younger folks. We continue to serve the Lord as long as we live here upon this earth. Retirement from secular work should give the Christian more time for serving God and his fellow man. And oftentimes, people who do retire from secular work find themselves to be busier after they retire than when they were working. And they wonder, how in the world did I find the time to do what needed to be done when I had to work 40 hours a week? Because I'm busier now than I ever have been. And I think that's well and good as long as you're busy in the right things. And so many times we get busy and doing what we want to do rather than being busy serving the Lord. Most of us, regardless of age, have wasted many years. And I believe that if we would be honest with ourselves and honest with God, and we would honestly admit there have been so many years in my life that I've wasted. And so it should behoove all of us to use whatever is left in the best way possible to gain as much as possible from our years that are left, our months, or whatever the case may be. And follow the admonition of Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying up the opportunity, saving time. Getting as much out of life as we possibly can. Another false concept is that as you're old, you have earned the right to be a grump. You've earned the right to be a complainer and grumpy and have a sour disposition. A sour disposition is unattractive, and it's inexcusable in any age, but especially from an older individual who should be wiser and know better and know how to act better. It has been said that the devil has no happy old people. He has a lot of sour pussies. He has no happy old people. And if we allow disappointments, heartaches, and the obstacles of life to transform us into cynical critics and grouchy grumblers, then we have missed our Lord's intention for our life. Christians of all ages have every reason to be happy. And as we grow older, that happiness should increase. As Paul again wrote to the Philippian church, Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. He wrote this from a Roman prison cell. Rejoice always. That includes when you get older. As he wrote to the Roman church in Romans 12 and verse 12, he says, rejoicing in hope. Now, anytime a person becomes a Christian, he needs to have the hope of eternal life. But as we grow older, we get closer to eternity, and we need to rejoice in hope. And he says, be patient in tribulation. Tribulation works patience, and as we grow older, we need to be patient with the hardships that we face. Continuing instant in prayer, we realize the importance of praying all of our life, but even as we grow older, we should need to realize even more so the importance of continuing instant in prayer, continuing daily in prayer. And finally, a false concept is that your faith is strong enough, you can coast from now on. Your life is just about over, so you just sit down and relax and just coast right on into eternity. That's a false concept. as we grow older, our faith should increase, not decrease. And there are certain things that we need to do in order to increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We need to be greater students of the Bible as we grow older than we ever have before. Prayer will increase your faith. Being involved in serving the Lord on a daily basis should increase your faith. You know, the Christian race taxes every Christian. It's hard to get out there in the world and live as God would have you live. And that's why the exhortation of Hebrews 12 and verse 2, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't read any exceptions in that exhortation, except when you're old. We're still running when we're older. We haven't finished the race until death comes, or until the Lord comes again. And if you're old in years, you're in that final stretch. You know, in a foot race, that final stretch is so important, to run like you have never run before. Put forth more effort in crossing the goal line than you have ever run before. But perhaps sometimes when our health fails, there are those emotional battle scars that embitter us, things that we can't forget. We need a strong faith, stronger than ever before. We must plow to the end and never look back. Jesus said, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9 and verse 62. You know, there's no tragedy greater than to see an older person become weak in the faith, stop going to church, go back out in the world. And the Bible says the latter end is worse with him than the beginning. And that happens many times to people who are old enough to know better. This should be one of the sweetest times of one's life, in spite of the aches and pains, in spite of the sicknesses. We should need to have the attitude that the Apostle Paul manifested. Though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's not how we start, but how we finish the course that really counts. And when Paul came to the end of his life, he says, I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Now I'm ready to die. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give me in that day, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Regardless of your age this morning, if you're not in Christ, you're not a Christian, there's no way that you can run the Christian race. Doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how much determination you have, you're not even in the race unless you're a Christian. Unless you're in Christ. And that's why we appeal to you to obey the gospel, to become a child of God. Express your faith and your obedience. Confess your faith as Jesus, as God's Son, to be buried with him in baptism. Become a child of God. Then you begin the race. And never fall by the wayside. Never look to the right or to the left. Always keep on keeping on. Someday you'll win, and heaven can be your home. And by God's grace, we'll all be crowned if we complete the race in keeping with his will. We can assist you in any way. Your obedience to the gospel, or as a child of God, if you need to acknowledge sin in your life, negligence, you want to get back on track again, you've been a spectator too long, this should be the day, and hopefully it will, that you will acknowledge that and seek the prayers of God's people. would stand together and sing.